Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions.
Anyone can make a copy on a copy machine. No one can get inside of your DNA. No one can get inside the plan of God that God created for you. Why? It was in Him. And He spoke you out of Him. And inside of that speaking was all the facets around to do only the unique thing that He's called you to do and the way that He's called you to do it. Now others can learn and adapt and follow you as you're following Him. But all we are required to do is just to tap into that place in Him. And that's really this whole pure life. That plan was in Him.
Amen.
Because all good was in Him.
Right.
All good was in the garden, just like we've talked about. He wanted to teach them the difference between, we're just going to take the tree and knock it down, to dating and no dating. This is the good, dating in the marriage, staying with your mate. This is the bad. Go eat some fruit off some other trees. Try them out. See how it tastes. See if it works for you. No. That's how this whole pure life is. So we have the ability, one, to live it out for us so that we can live our life in total consecration to Him. But we live it out for somebody else. And that's the part sometimes where love requires action. You know, there are times I've said this in Super Kids. Just as a family and as a leader, you know, I'm a senior leader over all of student ministries now. So there's a higher place that I have to go, okay, Lord, let's look at this now. There's some things in my life, maybe they aren't bad, or I would consider bad if I told you, but whatever. Okay, Lord, but now people may look at that, and I don't want to cause somebody to stumble. And if this would cause somebody to stumble, then Holy Spirit, talk to me about it. I'll put it down. I'll think about it. Maybe I need this character trait brought up to the surface that's not something that I really do easily, but somebody else may need it. So Holy Spirit, help me out. It's the same way with pure life. We talk to our children about this. You know, when you're married to an evangelist, my Lord, it's always about somebody else. So I've learned that for a long time. I can't tell you how many times we were late for something. So I throw the, well, we're going to be late because you're leading somebody to the Lord. I've repented since then, but I mean, you know, it sounded right, great at the time. Like there was some integrity issue that, you know, if you're telling somebody you're going to be there, you know, and so there's just a force behind, I have to go where hurt is. I have to go and be an example. I have to go and deliver Christ in me. Could it be their hope of glory? It might. You standing in middle school. You standing in 1440. You standing at a movie theater making the right choice. You don't know what kind of eternal significance that may make. Now, do you do it all for that? No, because it's a matter of the heart. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit towards the end, I hope, if the Holy Spirit allows us. But I wanted to read this. The Power of God's Love. And if y'all don't have this book, it's a really good book. I highly recommend it. Great Man of God. By walking in God's love, you release a force to work in your behalf. A force that has all the appearance of weakness, but is stronger than any force in existence. To walk in love is to step aside and allow the power of the universe to come between you and the situation in which you're dealing. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in other words, no, you are not a lamb to the slaughter. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And you know, you could say that with pure life. He's not leading you down this path so you get the snot beat out of you because all the kids you go to high school or middle school with are not doing Pure Life. No, you have to change your mind about that. You have to think about what we're doing here. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Say that. Say, I am more than a conqueror. It is one thing to conquer. It is another thing entirely to conquer and occupy. Hallelujah. You are one spirit with the Lord. Glory to God. He paid the price so you wouldn't have to pay it. You didn't have to go to the cross. He went there for you. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Through the power of that love, there is an unseen power that goes into operation when a person is developed in the love of God and knows how to walk in it. Pure Life is a realm of God's love. It's a power that He gives you, like we talked about. It's not about not dating. It's not about that. It's about operating in His love and holding on to His temple in a precious way. So that one day, with the right person, you can freely give an outward expression of the love of God that you've made a commitment to. Hallelujah. I may run in just a second. Y'all better watch it. When the world starts to run over you because you appear to be weak, and you could look that, what's that ring on your finger? I don't understand that. Talk to me about that. That's funny. If you haven't heard it, you may. They will run. I'm going to go back and read. When the world starts to run over you because you appear to be weak, they will run into that unseen power. It is all around you. It is in you, ever ready for whatever comes. God wants you to be full of the word to use His name without fear. It is yours to use, and God will back you with His power just like He said you would. Some of that, where we're standing in communion in this ceremony, you are literally, you as a parent, you with your child, in this covenant ring ceremony, just, you know, as you remember at a wedding, and it's like you were putting a laser beam on it. You are locking something down as a family. We're sealed in this. And then we take communion over it. You know, we sing that song here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, right? And how's the rest of it go? Run into it. And they are safe. I was reading a book the other day by E.W. Kenyon. And I always kind of looked at it like, here's the name, here's Kim. Speak the name, and then you go. Or you go lay your hands. In the name of Jesus, body, you be healed. Almost like you're going after it. And I was reading that, and it's like I saw the Lord chasing me. My name sucks you into me. You say it, and it's just like, there is no separation. I'm safe in the name. I'm safe in that place with Him. And kids, standing in that place that we're going to be with your parents, saying those vows, you are running into that safe place with your family. I remember Kylie was a little bitty kid. It was raining really hard one day, and Riley had this gigantic, ginormous golf umbrella. It could stop winds 100 miles an hour. And she was, you know, she was probably four or five. So she's just this little kid underneath this mushroom. And it was literally about 13 inches off the floor. You know, you could see the total of her calf and shoes. Well, he climbs underneath that thing with her. And he started talking to her about the umbrella of protection. If you will always stay under your mom and dad's umbrella, you will always be safe. If you will make sure when we're out, if you're right in daddy's reach, just like this umbrella, you're always protected. That empowered her. Not, you need to quit running in the store. I need you to come back here. Hey, did you hear me? You know, sometimes she'll forget, or not her now, but Katie Grace, we did the same story with her. And all you have to say is, umbrella! Here she comes, you know. Or we'll just go. It's the same way with the Lord. You look at that and you go, you know, as a wife, as a husband, you look at your ring and you just go, I remember what that was about. I remember the day we got that. I remember what it meant. I'm safe. I'll look at that sometimes during the day and I'll think, Lord, you've done a beautiful thing. You know, my story was a little different with Riley, and I'm not like recommending this, but I'm not either. We were very young when we met. I was 16. He was 19. I got married to him when I was 17. Sometimes I think, what were my parents thinking or drinking? No. Maybe a combination, I don't know, but I believe in our situation, absolutely, God called us to be together. Now, there were some circumstances around that. My parents got transferred to Alaska, and I've always been kind of independent, so I just decided, well, I just won't go. Well, I'll just get married. And they were like, okay. So anyway, we ended up getting married, which has been great. We were at 21 years this year, hallelujah, all to the glory of the Lord. But there are some things I had to learn from about 17 to about 21 that was probably the maturity realm and him as well. But I believe, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we are those people. But in that, like I said, there was a learning curve. There were some things. The Lord started talking to me about this. I think this will help you, and I think it'll help everybody else, because it's really ministered to me. Over the words that we say, positive and negative, and even taking some things, because the reason why I say this is because we've had to repent. You know, Riley's like, yeah, a boy shows up at our house, I take my 30-06 out there. You know, just joking around. Or, yeah, they can get married when they're 25 or 35 if I let them out of the house. And I mean, I was in a joke one day saying that just about Pure Life. And I mean, the Lord corrected me. If you've been praying and you've been believing and you're walking this out, every time you say a flippant comment like that, you're stopping the plan. And just like you pushed a little forward at 17 with that, because I did, you know, I know we would have probably gotten married a year or so later, at least where my parents didn't have to sign my life away. It would have happened. And that's the same way that it is with you. So parents, I want to encourage you tonight. Jesus came at the right moment. One's coming. One's coming. Boy, when he comes, you're going to know it. Hey. One's coming one day. Aren't we excited? And then what happened? He came. And so in your confessions, you know, maybe more to dads than this, you know, about your shotguns or whatever, even moms, you know, want to keep them in the closet. I encourage you to run even those comments by the Holy Spirit, because don't you want, I mean, let's just say this. If it was 17 for your child, would it be okay? And only you can answer that. I'm not asking for a show of hands. Or if it was 45, whatever God's plan is, and you know it, then it'll be all right. No matter what that time or age or whatever it is. Now, kids don't say, well, I know who it is. They're in seventh grade. So I'm not giving you like a license. Hey, Lieutenant Commander Kim, it's worked out great. No. And it has worked out great. But I'm telling you, there was some curve in the road that we had to go, Holy Spirit. But I know it was because I think all of my family was on their knees before the Lord going, help them, Lord, because she doesn't even know how to cook. Help them, Lord, because they need to get focused in some areas in their life. They're just, you know, off in la-la land. And so I encourage you in that. And oh my goodness, Jesus is coming so soon. And my goodness, when he shows up, it's going to be the right time. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about those moments that as I will know, Riley will know when that man of God shows up. And boy, we're going to invite him in. There's not going to be a gun at the front door. There's not going to be bars and chains on her door. We are going to welcome him in our presence as a member of our family. And if there's a year of courtship or whatever, we're going to train him in the words of God. And we're going to be trained. Because some man and woman are training that young man for my daughter right now as we speak. And so that's an exciting thing. So pray over that. If that's some place that you've been in fear in, okay, Lord, here we go. That's not okay either. Start praying out those things. Praying that out. Not in your mom love. Your mom love is worthless. Your dad love is worthless. His love in me. Praying out the plan of God. Now that is effective. I know that sometimes when I'll be like, why did you do this to me? There's no power in that. Then it's about me. No, child, we don't do this. Why? Because God didn't create you to act that way. That's why it's not okay. It's not about me. It's all about you. And there's obviously a part in here that we need to deal with. And so I encourage you, if that's you and you've been in a place of fear, repent of that before you get to the covenant place with your child. I'm still developing in some of those things that I promised my child. There's some things I need to remember to stir myself up in as a parent that I made commitment to my child about that. Same way with you, super kids. There is power you coming under the umbrella in this Pure Life ceremony. It's the power to get you under and get you over. It's the power of y'all to activate the love of God in a higher way. You can trust your mom or dad. You can. If they're sitting here with you, wow, can you trust them? Because I'm sure they have other things they'd like to do on a Monday night. But you meant, your future meant, the plan of God meant something more important than some TV show or some 12 hours that you could have been doing something else. This is 12 hours of investment and really the rest of your life until the next biggest commitment that you're going to make. So there's a place that you, super kid, have a responsibility. It's your responsibility, Renee, to step into your plan. Now, they can help you, and they're going to. But it's your time to pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. It's your time. We've been teaching you. It's your time to lay your hands on the stick. It's your time to go, yes, my mom and dad may have drugged me kicking and screaming at Pure Life in the beginning, and Lee, I'm tired of talking about sex and my feelings and parts and pieces and stuff. But praise God, all that's out on the table now. If it's not, please make an effort to do that before we take communion here. But it's time. And with this, you will have the power and the ability to stand in that place. Because now God has wrapped his love around you. So that like we read in the book a minute ago, so that it's not someone coming against you. They're hitting the force. And you'll know what to say. You'll know how to respond. John 10:10 out of the Message says this. I came so that they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's what Pure Life is about. It's opening up really the door of freedom. I was praying about that this afternoon on my way out here. I was thinking, really, all we did in the beginning when the Lord started speaking to us about this, it's different now a little bit than it was then. In the beginning, when I say this, the heart of it has never been about rules. But in the beginning, it was like we were putting framework around something so that you could start forming a picture. It's hairy. It's got a tail. It's got four paws. It's got a nose. We call him Pugsy. What are we talking about? A dog. It's the same way with Pure Life. It's like this, and it's got this part, and it has this piece. And so sometimes you can get in that, and you go, well, it's rules. The heart behind it is constraint because of the love of God. It's like tithing. It's not something that you do necessarily, but you do it because it's somebody that you are. I am a tither. And because I'm a tither, then there's a natural thing that happens with my hand. There's a natural occurrence that jumps out of my checkbook. There's a natural occurrence that when I see someone in need, I may not be able to answer the whole of it, but God didn't tell me to, maybe not to answer the whole part. But he said, you are a member of the body. So maybe your 25 will knock a chunk in the 50 they're believing for. Maybe your walk with this purity, with this pure life, just if for no other reason than your parents said, put the ring on and repeat this after me. You know, that's okay. You know, I think sometimes as parents, we forget that we're parents in some things. You know, God said to the children of Israel, I heard John Amazzini years ago. I mean, it's probably been 10 years. He said he had him on the lollipop principle. You may have seen this. He was talking about prosperity. He was like, okay, here's a lollipop. You can lick on it. Come on, let's go up a little bit higher. Come on. You know, I could get Katie Grace to do a whole lot with chocolate. It's just amazing the motivation that comes. But then they'd do something. Okay, give me all the lollipops. Nobody gets them anymore. We do things now from the motivation of, Lord, we just, like we were saying, we just want your presence. And when I open myself up, let's go back to Psalms 101 real quick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. And we love you so very much. I'm going to read it out of Amplified. Just so good. My theme song is God's Love and Justice. And I am singing it right to you, God. I'm finding my way down this road of right living. But how long before you show up? I'm doing the very best I can. I'm doing it at home where it counts. I refuse to take a second look at corrupting people and degrading things. I reject made in Canaan gods. Stay clear of contamination. The crooked in heart keep their distance. I refuse to shake hands with those who plan evil. I put a gag on the gossip who badmouth his neighbor. I can't stand arrogance, but I have my eye on the salt of the earth people. They're the ones I want working with me. Men and women on the straight and narrow. These are the ones I want at my side. But no one who traffics in lies gets a job with me. I have no patience with liars. I've rounded up all the wicked like cattle and herded them right out of the country. I purge God's city, all who make a business of evil. You see the difference in just the reading of that? Lord, this pure life. This is all about sharing the freedom that I found in you in this message. I found myself back in the garden, Lord. I found myself, Father, made in your image. You pulled. I mean, if this was Adam and he could go back, you pulled her out of me, Lord. I didn't have to go look. You saw it fit in your majesty and in your glory that it was not good for me to be alone. And so you dug her out of me, Lord, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I'm not alone. I'm so thankful that I get to enjoy this Garden of Eden. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've given me all things richly to enjoy. And it's my earnest honor and desire. Oh, God, I will dwell in this land. I will dwell in your presence. You see the difference in that? That's the place that freedom is. It's like marriage doesn't constrain you. Man, it motivates you. What can I do to love on you today? What can I do to show you God's mercy today as a parent? Riley and I were talking about this the other day. Yesterday. When your kids are doing right, don't you just want to bless them? But what about when they're really doing right? Like the closet's really clean and under the bed's really clean and the drawer, the stuff is still folded and they're, yes, ma'am, and I love you. May I clean the house for you? What about the dishes? There's just a level of obedience and then there's a willing and obedient heart. Doesn't that motivate you? As a parent, it's like, man, the sky's the limit. Okay, and they're not dumb either to know when to hit that. Why? They're motivated by your love for them. That's okay. During this prayer life thing, as you put the ring on your finger and you step into that place, it's okay, mom and dad, to motivate them in some things that they just don't get or understand, or maybe that they want or that they desire. They're not fully developed. And I'm going to talk about that. The Lord's going to let me talk about that. Hallelujah. But mom and dad, you are fully developed in this. That's what I believe today some of this was all about when I was thinking about it. You're not having to chase after this as parents either. Can I understand it? Can I get fully? Yes, you can. You have all of Him on the inside of you that you will ever need to walk this out with your child. You are the mother of her. I'm not. You are the father of him. He's not. Why? He put those divine qualities on the inside of you. That's why it says, train up a child in the way they should go, in their individual bent, the way that God bent their personality. Well, he must have made you the wrench or the whatever tool to bend something, to help them. Or to be smart enough to know who to get to help bend them. You've got it. All you have to do is tap into it. How do you tap into it? Not by your knowledge. It's like, great. I mean, most of us have said we didn't grow up with pure life. We made mistakes, right? I mean, most of us as adults in here have said that. If you didn't, praise the Lord. What a beautiful story. And even in that, you don't have to tell them your horror stories unless the Lord tells you. Or even your triumphs. That may or may not do anything for them either. But oh, the wisdom of God on how to talk to them about these things where pure life is concerned. How to talk to them about how to choose the right friends. How to talk to them about how to choose the right programs. How to choose the right outfits. Not so much choosing it for them, but training them in the way they should go. I told the ladies about this. I told our teenager, you find a cool tank top to wear under something. I'm not going to go cheap on it. If you find something cool, we'll just do it. Well, she's gotten very skillful at that. But you know what? I don't have to worry about saggy baggy. I don't have to worry about her bending over and seeing something that is not godly. Because there was a union that came in that. And it wasn't from, I don't want to see your tremendous blessing back here. I want you to be trained in the way that you should go. So when I'm not around and you're alone and you can choose, you know, choose the high and by, you're going to choose the right thing. Why? It's in you. And so kids, know that about your parents if you didn't. And if you've bucked it up to this point, repent. They're not doing it to give you this rule, that rule. They're doing it. They're training you for this Olympic lifestyle. You know, and so I'm going to, okay, Lord, thank you. When the Olympics come around, 2 or 3 years before it, they are training hard. A year before it, they go into the twilight zone. 6 months before it, they ain't talking to you. There's no partying with you. There's no coming to your house spending the night. It is 24/7. I'm going to the gold. I'm going to the gold. I'm going to the gold. I'm swimming. I'm going up. I'm doing laps today. And they're just like, I don't know what's happening here. I don't really care what's happening there. Why? I am fixated on what's before me. And everything that I put in me, everything that I do, it's training me to get to that place. Your parents are training you. God's talking to them about that plan and that purpose. And so when they give you direction, receive it. Embrace it. And you know, mom and dads, if you haven't learned yet how to do that or it's not natural, start tapping into it. Just pray it out in tongues. I can't tell you sometimes I'll be like, great, I'm going to go talk to the Lord and I'll get back with you. It's okay to tell your kid that. You know, I don't have the answer for that. And now even with our teenagers, it's a little different. I'll go, you know what? I've trained you. You know how to pray in the Holy Ghost. I have trained you. Not only have I trained you, I have sat beside you. And we have prayed some things out by the Spirit. And we have gotten the word so that it's not, was this me or was... No, you know His voice. You understand it. Or challenge them. I'm going to pray, you're going to prophesy. I'm like, yeah, you do. You know, come on. Now you do it. And I'm going to trust that the Lord... And you know, if it's not, then He's going to show me how to talk to you about it. And you're going to be able to submit. Okay. There's such freedom in that. It does sound abnormal. But this is our reality. This is the normal. God's love working in your homes. You know the reality, Super Kids, is y'all probably will get more spankings. You don't have to. The choice is yours. The last spanking you got could be the very last. I tell Katie Grace that. Katie, you've obviously been asking me for wisdom. And so we're going to get some. Okay? Okay. So we get in the Word, and we fill up with the Word, and then we get our wisdom. And I'll say, Katie, you know what? Today you got enough of the wisdom of God. You really don't need any more, unless you're asking for it. But the choice is yours. You can make a choice today where we don't ever have to go down this path. Okay. But you know, she chooses, then we'll give it to her. At 5, 6, 15, if Kylie chooses to do it, I'm not afraid to stand behind the Word of God. Why? Because He's not afraid to stand behind me. He ratified it in the blood of Jesus. And I am not going to be afraid of a teenager looking me in the face going, I'm too old to get a spanking. Of course, they would never say it because I've not trained them that way. And you're going, wow, this may sound... No, it's not. It's the reality of His love. That's why I said it. It's not by accident. This is a skillful thing. And you've gotten enough tools in your tool belt with Pure Life. And you have enough of the love of God on you. Enough of the Word in you to walk this out so easy. So if that tries to slip out of your mouth, man, this is harder. I just don't know. Yes, you do. You know what to say. And if you don't, then be smart enough not to say anything. Get back in your prayer closet until you can find the revelation of God and talk to Him about it. Kids, same goes for you. You are smart enough to keep your mouth shut at times. You are smart enough when to talk to your parents about some things. And if you're not, and they're pushing you, you know what? I can tell you're dealing with something. Let's talk. No, there's nothing. Okay, this is the reality. I'm just going to talk to you like we do in our home. I can tell there's something going on. The Lord and I've already talked about it. I've prayed. He keeps tugging at my heart. Talk. Well, they're really, I'm like, okay, end of discussion. Spirit, talk to me. Well, we'll just pray in tongues. How about that? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, that'll break it every time. You just can't play with that kind of... You're not talking against flesh and blood. You get down to business, you get to the point. Well, then they start talking, and it just takes it to a whole other realm. I love it, too. It happens. She'll come to us now, and she'll go, Mom, you're dealing with something. I go, no, I'm not. Because you want to... No, Mom, I can tell. I'm like, no, really. And really, I'm honestly thinking a lot of times at that point, I'm like, there's really nothing. And there have been times where she has absolutely ministered to me about something. Let's just pray. Okay. Hold on, my soul. Come on, say it. You know, and you just, oh, it's refreshing. It is so refreshing. Let's go to Proverbs. Hallelujah. There's nothing like being empowered by the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus was able to walk out what He had to walk out. He had been with the Father. He had spent time. He knew. God is not equipped to lie. So if He sent me, He's going to resurrect me. Pretty much it's a wash. I can do this. It's going to be tough, but I can do it. And then what did He give us? The Holy Spirit. Oh, I don't want to jump ahead. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay. Just like I said about he was empowered by God, his Father, to do what he had to do and to walk. Sometimes I think with 12 people who just didn't get it most of the time. That would be really annoying to me. I'm just like, I want to tell you once. It's going to be quick. I'm going to download and then I'm going to the next thing. Please don't come bother me 7 more times about the same thing. You know, I mean, that's just, that would be reality. Sometimes you'd be like, oh, you tell me, did you not see me? I turned the water into wine. Just let me handle them. Got the, you know, she wasn't dead. I like, you, did you, come on. Did you not get, I mean, I could just, it's almost like I'm the Son of God. I'm, you know, this is easy. This is like water walking 101. You hear this all the time. I go pray, then I go do, something happens. It's the same way with us. But we're more empowered because he said, greater works, more things, bigger things. If all the world itself could not contain the things that he would have done if they were written one by one. That probably is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. And he said more. I would do more. Hallelujah. So how do we do this? First, I'm going to talk to mom and dads. Then I'm going to talk to super kids. This is the fun part about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I trust you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to read it out of 2 things. The Amplified and now the Message. I'm going to read out the Amplified first because it's a little more friendly. Chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. Blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable are his children after him. The Message says, God, loyal people living honest lives make it much easier for their children. Going back to Jesus, because he's our example. He spent time with the Father. He made the right choices. His priorities were right. He said the right things. Because he said, if you've heard me, what? You've heard the Father. If you've seen me, which means not only if you've seen me right here, then you're looking at him. But if you've seen me lay hands on the sick, then you've seen the Father. If you've seen, oh, she's not dead, she's just sleeping, that's what's in him. So, with this scripture, pure life sabotages, if you want to call them that. Sabotages or victories, depending on, you know, how we want to look at it. We're going to look at it straight on. Mom and dads. Let's look at the word again. God loyal people living honest lives make it much easier for their children. Happy, fortunate, enviable are his children after him. And I'm going to piggyback what the Holy Spirit said through Tom. There's protection in that. As a husband, what are you saying to his wife? I say good things about my spouse. I don't say weird stuff. I don't talk about him. I don't talk about him to my family. Like, oh, he made some dumb. No. Oh, man. I encourage him. I'm like, the other day we were in the car and I was like, Riley, I don't know what to do on this. And as soon as I said that, I looked straight at him. I said, oh, but the word tells me about you. The soul winner is a wise man. I said, so we're looking at, you know, thousands and thousands of souls. Give me some wisdom. And when I said that, I'm telling you what, the voice of the Lord hit that car. It was just a tapping into that. So bring it back to us in your home. Happy, fortunate, envied are your children when mom and dad make the right choices in front of them. It's really difficult. You need to be nice to your brother and sister. You need to be nice to, you need to not cheat. telemarketer. Oh, we're not into her. You know, tell them I'm not home. You know what? You need to leave the room. I'm watching this. Okay, when I say this, I'm just throwing out examples. Some I've had to hurdle myself, so I'm just throwing out topics of conversation, if you will, to stir the word to come up and to savor in front of us. God-loyal people living honest lives. Living honest lives make it much easier for their children. Why did you cut me off in the road? I'm hurrying. I'm going to church. Hitting something or practicing your anger. Or coming in the house, kicking the door. Whatever, you know, we're people too. You know, and I'm saying there's grace in that. But there's also victory that you can give your kids living honest, God-fearing lives before them. It empowers them. When there's not hidden videos that are locked down and kept secret. Or, you know, I didn't mean to say that. I really didn't. You know, I said that once years ago. And I remember when I was saying it, I could hear the Holy Spirit going, if he said this, I'm not sure he would ever say this. He was like, shut up. I mean, I could like hear him saying it in my mind. And I was like, no, I'm going to say it anyway. Because I feel empowered to be a blessing right now. And so, I don't remember. I yelled something. It wasn't even a curse word. It was just like. And then my child said it 4 or 5 days later to her dolls or something. I don't remember. It was something. It was really. And it was. I was like, why did you say that? That was not very nice. And she just looked at me, you know, and I remember the Holy Spirit's like, well, you taught her well. So I remember repenting and doing that. But it's things like that that we're talking about in this pure life. And so I know sometimes we do that because we want our kids to be better and make better choices than maybe we had in the past, right? I mean, we do, and that's a great and God thing. It really is. But even sometimes in that, we're not totally sure or settled why we're doing it, or we may be dealing with it in our own life. So it becomes a rule to them because we haven't fixed it in our own life. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So think about that scripture. Take that down. Same way with you kids. You know, your parent is your parent. They mess up. You probably are not the God-chosen one to let them know about it. Unless that's something that y'all have talked about in your family. And there are times in our family we talk about the words out of our mouth, you know. You say a bad confession and somebody hears it, you give them a dollar. I mean, that's just, you know, you just find things to help stop you. Because you can be broke by the end of the day if you don't watch it. So, you know, if that's something in your family, I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about just the reality, super kids, of here's an empowerment too. Mom and dad make all the wrong choices all the time. Okay, let's just say they do, which I know they don't, but in your mind you may think it. Does that give you the right to make all the wrong choices all the time? No. That's what we're talking about. You knowing him enough. Even if your parents don't get it, you're empowered to prosper. You're empowered to make the right choices. You're empowered. God himself will make it. Now, I believe we're all making right choices, but I've heard kids say that. Well, my mom or this, or I don't have a dad, or I don't have a mom, or my mom says this to me, or my dad. I'm like, you know, life is not fair. And we'll pray, and we'll believe God, but the reality is, it's your decision on how you respond. In any situation. You know, Riley might say something that I might take the wrong way. It's my responsibility on how I respond back. So I can respond in a way that I'm creating a silhouette to Kylie about how a wife should be to her husband. And about how to submit. And how to say the right thing. When I make outward expressions from the love of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to James. I'm going to read in James 1 from the Amplified, verse 12. Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God, for God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire. When you start climbing, peeking out of the umbrella, I wonder what's over there. I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder, that looks a little fun. I wonder, it's like, I'm still trying to hang on to your pinky. And then you go, it's like base. It's like, you know, baseball. And then here comes, and they run back. Because why? They have protection in something this big. You know, it's like, if I can just put my foot on it, I'm safe. And man, they just get a little too far out sometimes. Not even, they've been out here the whole night. It's almost like Hookie that we watched. It's like, I've been playing with the hook all day, but suddenly it grabbed my pants. Now I can't get away. It's entrapped me. Super kids, that's how you do. You get out from that place. And we as parents, we have to be smart to know when they're hanging on by their pinky or their foot's there. It's a lot easier to get them in when they're this far out than in juvie court. It's just the reality. But something started happening, some enticement, some little thing here and there. So when your parents question you, well, let's talk about this. Do that, parents. Yes, you're their friend, but you're their parent first. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night, follow the unction. Somebody told me once, you would go through your child's stuff? Absolutely. I'd probably say, let's go through it together. Show me what God's showing you. I want to read all the good stuff he's showing you. Show me what's in your closet. I would love to help you organize your closet today. I'm going to fold all your stuff for you. There are clever ways that the Holy Spirit can show you about stuff. I love it. God got in my business. He said, you are dying and going to hell, Kim Stevenson. And I'm going to send somebody across your path so that you don't have to live a miserable life any longer without me. It's the same kind of thing. I don't want you to be out of his presence any longer. So I'm going to put a hook in you, and I'm going to pull, and if you're kicking and screaming, well, I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost even louder. I can't tell you people that say, I'm afraid if I do that. Well, let's deal with that word first, okay? And there's not a condemnation with that. If you got to talk to somebody and say, you know what? I'm afraid. Talk to me about it. I will get in the gutter with you. There are 15 other parents in here that I know I could say, call him, call her, call them. We'll get out at midnight and go track them down in downtown Fort Worth. Shoot, my husband knows every side street. He can probably make a couple of phone calls right now, and they'll hold them for you. They won't even know. They'll just think they're doing a survey. So don't be afraid to come in covenant with these people in this room. Don't be afraid to go, you know, my kid was in that 2 years ago, and they seem to have forgotten who they are. And I need you to help me. Rat them out if you see them, and rat them when they're doing good. And I'm going to do the same thing with you. Let's talk about it. You know, there's no pride in that. That is a level of the love of God, man, that the righteous run into. And they are safe. So with that, James verse 23. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in the mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he's like. I was thinking about that today, and I just had this thought, this little vision. You know, you've seen crime shows or whatever, and they bring the suspect into the holding room alone at the table. Why? They're trying to get to something. And then the detectives are talking about it on the other side of the what? The glass. Now, from the suspect's point of view, He looks in the mirror and what does he see? Himself. But the detectives are on the other side looking through it, making comments. Doesn't he look a little nervous? Looks like he's been up. It looks like he's on something. And they're just talking. We'll just leave him in there. He's going to break. He's going to do this. Because they know that that tactic works. They can just, because they're piercing and they're seeing on the other side. Because of experience, if we can just, we've seen this happen and we know this is going to come out. And today when I saw that, it was like, oh my gosh, Father, we're the same way. We should always be like the detective on the other side of the glass. When we're looking in that mirror, we're seeing past the brown hair and the brown eyes. I see you. And I'm conforming myself to who you are. I see that, Lord. And when I walk out of here in just a minute, I'm not going to peek back around the door. But sometimes we do that. We forget who we are. And this is what I want to end on tonight, where this ceremony is concerned. I've been thinking about this, and there is still a big revelation that I am trusting the Lord for. And I've shared this a little bit with some of our staff. Just the reality now of where children, youth, babies, ministry is concerned to kids. I'm not training safe kids. I'm training strong kids. I'm training kids who know who they are in Him. I'm training kids that can operate to hear the voice of the Lord. So I have to run to mom and dad, hey, I need you to pray for me. I'm not feeling well. Well, they just went to the mirror and looked in it, saw beyond it, and pulled what was in the other room to this side of the room, and they walk out in their health. And that's what you're doing where Pure Life is concerned. You're not training them to be safe so that they're a virgin when they get married. That'll happen because they're strong. It's not about abstinence. It's about, my body wasn't made for that. I was made in the image of Him. And so that's kind of what, it's like here we started, It's like here was the beginning, right? God creating the universe, you in His image, creating you just like He was in the garden, beautiful things. And then the fall, and we all know what that entitled. And then here came Jesus. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and saving us. And so it's kind of like we've broken these categories up and like, I was creating His image, and then there was this fall, and there was the devil, and then Jesus came. So I was cleansed from that. And so sometimes in our eyes, and I say this because I hear this, and I fought this in some. And this is what I'm pressing in for the full revelation of this. It's like we almost see like the two come together, but not completely overlap. And it's like, okay, here was the garden, me creating His image, and then here was Jesus redeemed. But man, I'm still fighting with this inner circle of sin and death. Still fighting that fleshly guy. Man, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have this, or I shouldn't have, you know, whatever, your shouldn't have, or your can't, or your sickness, or whatever it is that, you know, as far as I can read in His Word, those aren't too connected in the middle. Jesus threw me back in the garden. I don't have to worry about the devil anymore. I don't have to worry about, I was created anew, created fresh, created brand new. The blood of His Son ratifies me, makes me whole again. I don't have to be like James, like he talked about, going into the mirror and looking and thinking that that's still a part. That's what this Pure Life is, and that's what I was thinking about where Pure Life is concerned. You're back to that original, pure place. Really, there is a place on the highest level, because if Jesus walked in it and said we'd do more and we would understand it fuller, You tell your kids, we don't lie. Okay, you don't need to lie anymore. Not because I'm telling you to. But God created you, and He's not a liar. And that's your original DNA now. That's who you are. You're not a liar, because He's not. You walk in love. Why? Because He is love. And out of Him, He threw me into this earth after the new birth. So that peace, this part that we fight with where pure life is concerned, it really doesn't have to be a fight. I am totally convinced of that the more I think about it. Why? My body was bought with a price. My body settled until my parents give me away. Because my plan is wrapped up in Him and my parents are wrapped up in it. And really, there's no more turmoil. There doesn't have to be anyway. But it's all a mind shift. We weren't created to think about it in our mind where we're safe or I'm not going to go do this or I'm not going to do this. No. I'm fellowshipping with Him in the garden. Just like I started off tonight. He's going to show me. I'm back to that original design. And if God said it, then it's so. He still is using His faith because the lights are still on. He's still using His faith because the earth is still on its axis. He's still using His faith because Jesus is coming back for me. So if that's the place, my life is hidden in Him. We're going to command the devil to back off. That's what this covenant ring ceremony is about. You don't have any part of this. You're not in this pure life battle. Why? Battle's been fought. We're just awakening to a new place. We're sealing this in the love of God. We're going to yank out your mate from the love of God. And we're not going to date. Why? We're not settling for anything other than His original design. And in His original design, there was no less than Ephesians 3:20. Exceedingly, abundantly above all, the mate He will bring to my child. Because that's just who He is. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for Your ways. I thank You for the original covenant design. We are made in Your image. And as covenant bought kids, hallelujah. As covenant bought parents, Lord, we stand in our covenant rights. And we declare as we're walking to this ceremony, Father, as we're walking to this place, Lord, just like Eve was on the walk to the tree, she had the ability. But You've given us Jesus now. We know good. We can discern evil. And we know we don't have to be a part of it. And so, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over our families. And Lord, as they attack, literally, these covenant vows, I'm asking You, Lord, to help them see and read between the lines. To take these words and to search them out in the Scripture and bite into that revelation. To yank that fruit off the tree and dig and devour it. Lord, when we walk back in here for that ceremony, we will come into such a high place. As we're shopping for clothes or rings, You are in the midst of it. Hallelujah. You are fellowshipping with us in our garden where this is concerned. And Lord, I am so thankful for that. I thank You, Lord, for mom and dad settling things. I thank You for kids settling things. I thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit showing us things to come. And we give You glory for that. And we worship You for that, Father. And I am speaking right now over any distractions where finances are concerned or time is concerned, where this ceremony is. You be gone in Jesus' name. You are not welcome. Not because you hadn't been invited. You have no knowledge of this because this is done in the love of God. And you can't comprehend it. And so we thank you for that. And we give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.